From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
How do you make a sale? How do you successfully pitch? How, basically, do you put yourself in front of somebody and get the response that you're looking for? It's kind of fundamental to business, isn't it? But it's not always easy. And to Dino Bernacki, the chief marketing officer at Mazda, it comes down to two words: customer obsession.
Those who really get it right are customer obsessed. And what I really mean by that is that they're listening to what the customers want.
That word he uses there is so important. That's really the mind shift: listening. To get what you are looking for from somebody else, you don't ask, you don't say, you don't talk, you listen. I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm often on the receiving end of people who are looking for things from me. And oftentimes the way that they reach out is just so bad and so misses the point that I just wanted to lay it out and explain it. And so in the March issue of Entrepreneur, that's what I did in my editor's letter. I wrote about how to reach people, not by speaking, but as Dino says, by listening. And so on this episode of Problem Solvers, I want to offer a real power-up version of this. I am going to read you my column, and then afterwards, Dino and I are going to have a conversation about what it really means to listen and to be customer obsessed. This is the episode to listen to if you want to learn to listen. We are going to get into it all right after the break.
Do you love travel and love the idea of owning your own business? If so, Dream Vacations has an opportunity you need to know about. Dream Vacations is a travel agency franchise that you can operate from home. There's no inventory, no overhead, and a low cost of entry with less than a $10,000 initial franchise fee. And they'll provide full training, turnkey marketing, and everything you need to start selling vacations. To learn more and possibly join the 1,300 Dream Vacations franchise owners across the United States, visit discoverdreamvacations.com. Again, that's discoverdreamvacations.com.
All right, we're back. So first, I want to read you this column. And then after that, we're going to have a conversation with Dino Bernacki of Mazda. And so, like I said, this started out because I just keep getting these terrible pitches. And it gives me some perspective on what it means to really pitch properly. Okay. Here we go. This is what's in the March issue. A curious email rolled into my inbox recently. The subject line was "write article." And here was the entire message. Quote, "Hi, Jeff. I wanted to write an article. Who do I speak with? Thanks." End quote. Maybe you have some questions. I do. What kind of article does this person want to write? What makes them qualified? Why would I want to publish it? And when did my name become Jeff? It's Jason, by the way. And that's just the start. But let's focus on the most telling word in this email, the one that explains what went wrong and should serve as a warning sign for us all. The word is "wanted," as in the person wrote, "I wanted to write an article." The email writer led with what he wanted, not with what he could provide. And although his email was particularly clumsy, his mistake was very common. We are all, at some points, blinded by our own interests. We want something badly, and so, like a starving man who sees everything around him as food, we begin to see the people around us as providers. We expect them to deliver a service as if they've been hired for a job. We become needy, demanding. But here's the harsh reality. Nobody cares what you or I or anyone else wants. Instead, they care about what we can do for them. Consider how successful transactions take place. An entrepreneur may want an investor's money, but they don't say, "I want your money." They talk about how they can make the investor money. And nobody tells a customer, "I want your purchase." They tell a customer about how their product or service can make the customer's life better. I wanted to write an article. That's what the email said. As if my job is to grant wishes. He was so laser focused that on that desire that he failed to sell me on an idea. He offered no value, even though that's what everyone's looking for. Please understand, this is not about reaching out to me. It's about reaching out to anybody. Do I expect us all to be selfless, always giving and never getting? I don't. We all want things, and we should. But we should also be mindful of the best way to get them. Otherwise, we're just wasting our and everyone else's time. I mean, just imagine if I'd written this column, this thing you're reading right now, or listening to, I guess, about what I really want. Dear reader, I want you to buy this magazine and follow Entrepreneur on social media. Oh, and follow me too and listen to my podcasts. I mean, do I want those things? Of course. But if I said that, I'd give you no incentive to actually do them. So instead, I pay close attention to what my readers and listeners want. I correspond with them and I talk to them at events. I take notes of what they like and dislike. And then when it comes time to produce this magazine or this podcast, I reflect upon what I've learned and do my best to deliver value. I'm not saying I do it perfectly, but I know it's the only path forward. That's the power of value, after all. When you know how to deliver it, you're in a far better position to receive value for yourself. That point was hammered home recently by an entrepreneur friend of mine whom I shared these thoughts with. He runs a medical company and spends a lot of time fundraising and building partnerships. And here's what he told me, quote, "It's how I approach negotiations," he says. "You have a much better chance of getting what you want if you focus on what the other person wants. Then you can negotiate from strength because you already know what's important to the other party," end quote. I know it can sound obvious, but in day-to-day interactions, we can slip up. Talking too much about ourselves, pivoting too much towards the thing we desire. So here's my challenge to you and to myself at all times and in all interactions. Be relentless on value. You'll get what you want by providing what someone else wants first. And okay, that was my column. And the first person I thought of to talk to was Dino because I had recently had a conversation with him that was all about customer obsession. And so I wanted to get him on the phone to talk through what it means at a company level to really, really believe in this. And here's our conversation.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, I think there's a lot of brands, a lot of companies that just want to inform you of what they do. And what they build and literally are talking at you versus listening and having a conversation with you. And that is prevalent, I believe, in marketing today and has been throughout a lot of the decades of people who manufacture or produce anything. And those who really get it right are customer obsessed. And what I really mean by that is that they're listening to what the customers want. And so when asked, you know, what do you have, if you really did build it with the customer in mind, you should be able to quickly, simply articulate back to them what that is. And that will be inherent value because it's what they said they wanted. And, you know, I go back to, if you don't mind me using our own company.
Yeah.
I go back to Mazda. And, you know, go back to the very beginning, and I know you've probably heard me tell this story, but, you know, when the company started, you know, the whole mission nearly 100 years ago when we were manufacturing cork was to better the world through manufacturing. And we really thought we could bring betterments to society with the engineering and art of manufacturing. When we had 3- and 4-wheel vehicles, they wanted to make the mission really clear. And you know, we say, Hashir, you're a Kobe. And, you know, there's not a great English translation, but the way I like to articulate it is it's to uplift you and how you feel through the active driving to make you feel alive. It's a very emotional benefit that's also very tangible. And it, you know, the absolute aspect of the company in ideation, in designing, in engineering, in manufacturing, and now even in marketing and or quote-unquote selling, is being human-centric, putting you at the center. And literally, you know, a lot of people say they are quote-unquote customer-led, and yes, I'm sure they do a lot of research, but when you are building something for someone and you build it around them and you have a singular goal of bringing joy or improving the way they feel as a net outcome, you know, you have something inherent to talk about because you have to talk to people to understand that you're getting there.
I really like where you're going with this because what you're saying is that it's really not, it doesn't start with the communication. It actually starts with the building of the thing that you're communicating about. And so, I was wondering, I'd love you to drill into then how you approach talking to people and understanding what it is they're looking for and then translating that into creating the thing that they want.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of things. Some of it, quite candidly, is scientific. You literally study the human anatomy. You study what makes an impact on the human body, you know, when you're producing something like we are, which is automobiles. And I'm sorry, there is no CAD data or there is no engineering methodology in the computer system that can truly predict how you will feel on your body movement, you know, the placement of the human being and what you are getting out of the drive for us specifically. And we want effortless, joyful driving. So some of it is science. You study. And then eventually you put people behind the wheel and you have them experience. I'll give you my example, and I apologize. I think you've heard me tell this story, but I was in Hiroshima on the racetrack, and I got to drive an MX-5 with a high rev that we now announced, and this is probably a year ago. And, you know, I drove it up and down that track, and I was asked not to get it out of second gear, even though I was going to accelerate up to 60, 65 miles an hour, which seems insane. And it was a 15-minute lap. And the engineer asked me, I swear to God, no less than 12 times, how do you feel? How do you feel? And when I parked the car, I literally looked at him and I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. And I said, why did you keep asking me how I feel? And he said, because Dino-san, if you're not feeling it, we don't have it right, even if the engineering specifications are perfect. And it truly is a relentless pursuit to a cause that is not necessarily about you, which a lot of people say, hey, I'm going to build this widget because I think people need it. And they just got to learn to love it, or I just got to show them that they love it. But you have to literally listen to what it is that they're sensing, they're feeling, they're needing, even if they don't tell you specifically, like in the case of this engineer, to perfect what it is that you're building for whom you're building it for. And this is an opinion of one, but if you don't have that really relentless pursuit and truly being, I like to say, customer obsessed, it really is hard, I think, sometimes to connect the dots and you end up stuck in a rational solution of feature benefits and truly trying to sell whatever product it is that you're trying to push. And you got to know who your target audience is very specifically. And for us, I think you and I have had this discussion. We're not for everybody. That's okay. We had decided we want to go for individuals who are like-minded in us, who enjoy the act of driving. If you're A2B transportation, my friend, nope, we are not for you. You know, the car that we try to build are going to be for those individuals who want to feel something out of the joy of driving. This is why we're not on board with everyone else of robbing the steering wheel from consumers through autonomous driving. We believe in the capability of making you a better driver through those same tools, but then we rob the individuals who love driving that opportunity. And so we want to stand up and say the things that they tell us that are meaningful to them in what it is that we produce. Only through that can I truly believe that you can be customer obsessed and you can deliver the value that someone seeks. And I'm going to go so far as to say, you should be able to not even have to use a whole lot of words to tell them. They should be able to experience it and feel it on their own.
So it's interesting. The you have told me that story before about the engineer saying, "How do you feel?" And the first time you told me, I hadn't thought about this. But when I hear it again, it reminds me of this thing that I heard John Taffer once say. If you know John Taffer, he has that show Bar Rescue, and he's a consultant in the hospitality industry. And his point is that you are not, and he says this to people in hospitality, he's like, you are not selling the food, you're selling the experience. So when you're putting the food down, the most important thing is, does it look amazing? Is it exciting for people? You're selling the experience. And I feel like there's a similar thing here where you're not just selling a car, you have to be selling the feeling of it.
Yeah, that without a doubt. I mean, a vehicle actually physically moves you. And the art of moving you doesn't have to be sterile and simple. I mean, it can give you joy, and you just got to know how to engineer. And I will tell you, I think it's more important. Here's the reality. You know, if you're going to sell me quality, I don't know. You tell me, my friend, is there a customer out there who buys a new car that doesn't expect quality?
Right. No, of course.
I mean, you tell me. I don't think so. And if there is, I guess I would question what they're really focusing on, because it's almost an expectation that you're going to deliver quality. Now, superior quality is wonderful, but that alone, I don't think is what a lot of consumers are looking for, whether it doesn't matter what category. You look at great brands, and there's an aesthetic beauty that makes you feel something, and there's usually an interface or experience with it that really just heightens or amplifies what that feeling is. And you know, we all have those brands that do that for us, and we're trying to be that brand for those who really enjoy the act of driving.
So let's just take it to its final phase, because you had rewinded rightly to the creation phase, where you're not just spinning something as value, but you're actually building value into the thing. But then you do have to take the step of communicating the value. You said that you don't have to do it in that many words. How do you think about approaching the concept of value and communicating to people that, hey, this is for you?
Yeah. So first, you got to know who that audience is, and you have to get to them. Because again, for our purposes, you know, we were for the longest time trying to communicate to the masses. I think you know us well enough to know we are not this behemoth auto brand, and we do have a specialty or niche of individuals that we're trying to get to. So one, you have to actually get to the individuals so they see your message. And for us personally, we don't want to just speak at you. We want you to feel it. And that's why we've tried to raise the level of our communication to be far more emotionally driven. And so that when you see it and you hear it, you're feeling it. And people respond far quicker to emotions than they do rational. That's probably why we have walked away from just straight up feature benefit and competitive comparison in our advertising, because we do believe, and we have net results right now, very positive one, that are showing people watching that who are the target audience saying, you know what, I want to feel that way. We're not saying it, we're showing them. And I'm really excited about the new work with our new Mazda 3 that we're going to take it to a whole new level.
When you're talking about this, and how about people come with a level of understanding, you know, nobody's, for example, you said nobody's not looking for quality in a car. And I don't think anybody expects that a new car isn't going to have some baseline level of quality. It reminds me a lot of when I was talking to the president of Reebok, actually, and he said that they were thinking a very similar thing with their brand. He used the example of scissors. He said, if you're going to market a pair of scissors, and it's the best damn scissors, if you start marketing based on quality of scissors, it's the sharpest, it's the easiest to hold. It's not going to move anybody, because everybody kind of already expects a new pair of scissors to be good. We've reached a place where manufacturing is good enough that any pair of scissors you buy is going to be good. So instead, you've got to find that other thing that's missing from the consumer's lives that you can bring to them, whether that's a story or a design aesthetic or whatever it is, depending on the product. You have to identify what you can bring that is truly valuable and that truly cannot be reproduced by your competitors.
No, I think he's absolutely correct, and I'm glad I'm not selling scissors, but I do believe you have to bring a rewarding experience. And you know, my philosophy has always been with some of the great brands that you've seen out there and they market, they're very emotionally charging and driven in their communications to make people feel something special. And you just got to know, what is that feeling that I'm trying to deliver and what is the most creative and elegant way to present it? And, you know, for us, part of it is the alluring design. I mean, if you aesthetically don't have it to begin with, you may not get to the second phase. And that's why we have such care and hand craftsmanship into the design of our vehicles and why the design element, you know, we talk about artful design and Japanese mastery, has to be so unique, has to be so compelling, and has to be make you feel something before you even investigate any specs, or you'll never get there.
Well, Dino, I think that if you were selling scissors, you'd be selling the hell out of them, but I'm glad you're selling cars instead.
Well, trust me, I love cars. I'll stick to this.
Yeah, very good. Hey, man, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, dude, it's been great.
So there was our conversation, and, you know, I just want to add one thing. You know, when we started, we were talking about listening, and then what Dino brought up in this conversation and where he took it was that, of course, it starts with listening, but then it gets to execution. You've got to listen to what people are looking for and then totally deliver on it. That is how to make the pitch. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.